Yes, that's right. A very good morning to you, and very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Very good morning, my dear listener. Welcome to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station, your favorite station in the land. It's a beautiful morning. It's a Wednesday morning, the 25th of March. So the month is slowly by slowly, you know, coming to the end already. So yeah, the year is, it's actually, you know, running fast. It's running fast. It's running faster than a bullet. So good morning and welcome to, Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike, Oshoveni. And this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday we cut through the line and we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear here. And always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your platform and this is your space to unpack with me the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. And before we do that, let's welcome you. Before we do that, let's welcome you. Welcome if you're just joining us. And what we do as we do early, at the first thing that we do on the show, we look at the history. We look at the history on this day in Africa. So good morning. Good morning. Good afternoon, wherever you are tuning in from across our beautiful continent and beyond. So welcome to on this day in Africa, the 25th March. 2026. So today we are looking back at March the 25th through the lens of Africa, African history. So let's take a journey through the years. Our first stop takes us back to 1976. That's right, nearly 50 years ago. Nearly 50 years ago, on this very day, South Africa's apartheid government made a major, major announcement. They would be pulling their troops out of Angola. Now, why this is significant? Well, South Africa had been deeply involved in the Angolan civil war, a conflict that was about much more, more than actually just Angola itself. This conflict was caught up. It was caught up in a bigger Cold War picture, if you like, you know, with different world powers actually backing different sides. So when South Africa announced its withdrawal, it marked a significant shift in how power was moving across Southern Africa. So, yeah, it was one of those moments that quietly changed the course of our region's history. Fast forward now to 1988, just 12 years later. But in a very different context, on this day, on the 25th of March, South African President P.W. Botha signed a certificate, a piece of paper, but one that actually spoke volume. So this certificate stopped the Windhoek Supreme Court from prosecuting soldiers accused of killing a SWAPO member. Now remember, Namibia was still called Southwest Africa back then, more or less like a province of South Africa. So, and it was in the thick of its liberation struggle. So now this legal intervention shows just how tense things were, how the machinery law could be used to shield certain actions during those difficult years. So it is a reminder of how intertwined law, power, and freedom struggle really were. And finally, we come to 2007, a much more recent memory for many of us. On March 25th of that year, the United Nations made an important declaration. So this date would now be recognized every year as the International Day for Remembrance of the Victim of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade. Now, this wasn't just about marking a date on a calendar. It was about acknowledging a painful chapter in human history, one that actually shaped not only Africa, the Americas, and Europe in ways we are still understanding today. So it's a day to honor those who suffered, those who resisted, and those whose name we may never know. So there you have it. There you have it, my dear listener. March 25th in African history. It is the story of who we were, a story in many ways who we are, who we still are. So thank you for tuning in on this day in Africa. So, and if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you. A very good morning to you, and welcome, and thanks for joining us. As I always said, we love to be in your company, and thanks for joining us at this point in time. So this is Unpacking the Day, and what is our thought for the day here on Unpacking the Day? So today's thought is simple, very, very simple. A crown is no cure for the headache. A crown is no cure for the headache. So simply, this means power, status, or big title does not solve every problem. All right. So a leader can wear a crown, but still faces stress, pressure, or tough decision and tough decisions. So the lesson for all of us is this: respect positions, but remember that the real strength is not in the title. It is in wisdom, patience, and how you handle, how you handle challenges. So that's your thought for the day. So good morning and welcome. All right. So, our time is 11 minutes past the hour of 8. And we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. And what is on the menu this morning? What are you expecting? What are we following today in the show? Now, there's a new global survey reveals a sharp decline. In Namibia's mining investment appeal, attractiveness. So a drop the industry leaders attribute to investors' fear over proposed policies. Now, one of those policies is a mandate for 51% local ownership. So that has now, attributed to investor actually fear of some of those policies. That has attributed now to this drop in mining, in mining investment appeal in Namibia. So we follow that and we unpack that. Hopefully you join me in unpacking that. But we have also the Communication Regulatory Authority of Namibia, CREN, has formally denied Starlink license application for they have actually formally denied them denied the license application, citing failing to meet key regulatory requirements, including local ownership and national security rules. So we will definitely get into that as well. And it's also a story in today's edition of The Villager by HD, by Hende. So make sure that you also subscribe. Make sure that you subscribe for The Villager. And please, if you are really looking for the latest business and economic news, updated latest one, so get yourself a free copy of The Villager by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, and be sure to save the number as well as a contact number so that we don't become your, what is that? So The Villager is definitely published every Monday and Wednesday and Friday. So if you subscribe now, so you still get a chance to get your free copy of Friday, your digital copy of Friday. So it's for free. Make sure that you do that. All right. So when we come back, we will be, you know, getting into our first story. So make sure that you're joining us.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafathana na nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And this is Eagle FM. If you are just joining us and you are tuning in to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So our time is about 16 minutes past the hour of 8. So let's start with CREN versus Starlink. Now, Namibia's Namibia's communication regulator has refused Starlink's bid to operate locally, not because satellite internet is unwanted, but because the company fell short of key legal tests around local ownership, security oversight, and past compliance. Now, that matter because Namibia also shown it is open to low Earth orbit satellite internet when providers follow local rules, because in February, CREN approved OneWeb linked services through the the local partner for the remote business connectivity. So, well, good morning. Good morning and good morning, Namibia. So this is Unpacking the Day. And today we're looking at the story that sit right at the crossroad of technology, sovereignty. There's also a whole issue of sovereignty. It's about business as well. And well, and also one can say, you know, plain old common sense. Sometimes, you know, common sense prevails. Yeah. So yeah, let's start here. Okay. Many Namibians here, many Namibians, when they, when you hear the name Starlink and, you know, we think of one thing. Okay. When you hear Starlink, we think of one thing, better internet, fast internet. That's what we have come to know, what Starlink is all about. One thing, all what we think is better internet, fast internet. Now, maybe even internet in places, you know, where the, so we know that we have network issues, you know, where sometimes we have, where network is always weak. If you look into our rural areas, so where children actually struggled to do, schoolwork online, you know, that's not a luxury anymore. You know, schoolwork online, where business lose money because the signal comes and goes. Someone told me that like the signal in their area comes and goes like a moody cousin. You know, I don't know how a moody cousin is. So yeah, so as I said, business may lose money because of this, of the signal comes, you know, comes and goes like a moody cousin. Someone told me. So when people hear that Kren said no to Starlink, the first reaction is simple. Why block the progress? Why block the progress? So, but my dear listeners, that is only the first layer. Okay. So when we're looking at this whole thing, that's just the first layer of the, you know, when you're peeling the onion. So that's just the first layer of the onion. So the deeper story, so there's still a deeper story to that. Okay. And the deeper story is this. Kren is saying Starlink may have the money. They're saying Starlink may have the money. They may have the technology and the spectrum and the spectrum space to operate here. They may have all that, but that is not enough. Okay? They're saying that, well, that is not enough. In Namibia, telecom is not a free, it's not a free for all. Okay? It's not a free for all. The law says ownership and control matter. Okay? Our law says ownership and control matters. It also says security matters and compliance matters. Okay? There are other things also that matters. Okay? So the laws of ownership and control, the laws of security and the laws of compliance. It's not just that you have the technology, you have the specs, the money and all that. Okay? There are others, other things that matters as well, especially when it comes to law. And if the company want to carry our communication traffic, reach our homes and sit inside such a sensitive national sector, it must first show respect for the rules of the house. So that's what the Kren actually saying. So they must respect the rules of the house. Now, according to the Namibian Communication Act, foreign ownership is in a licensee is capped at 49% unless the minister authorizes an exception beforehand. Now, let's tell the story properly, and it is in our, as I said, it is in our today's edition of the Villager e-newspaper by HD. So, now, Starlink, registered a company in Namibia in May 2024, and then applied for a license in June 2024. Now, but from earlier on, there was a big stumbling block. The local ownership rule, there was a big stumbling block, which is actually the local ownership rule. So earlier reporting actually showed that the application was effectively stuck while government considered whether Starlink, which is wholly foreign owned, it's completely foreign owned, should get an exemption from the 51% Namibian ownership requirement. So that's what the whole thing now looking at. Now, that means this was never just a paperwork delay. So it was just never a paperwork. The problem was backed into the application from the very start. So then came another twist in November 2024. CRAN issued a cease and desist order. If you remember, cease and desist order, saying Starlink had been operating in Namibia without the required license. So now the regulator also warned the public not to buy the terminals or subscribe to the service, and said illegal terminals have been confiscated. Okay? That part is very important, because once a regulator believes a company has already crossed the line before approval, trust becomes a very big issue. It stopped being only about innovation. It becomes about conduct. You see, that becomes an issue now. If you fast forward to now, the fuller explanation around the refusal say Starlink met only half of the legal tests. They only met half of the legal tests. It reportedly cleared the part of competition. So that has been cleared. Technical and financial capacity, of course, and the frequency availability. That has been, you know, those part are cleared. In other words, so the CRAN accepted that the service could work. Okay, they accepted that the service could work. It could add competition to Namibia communication environment, and had the technical muscles. Those has been clear that those can really add value to our country. So those has been cleared. But the company reportedly failed now on ownership and control. Ownership and control, national defense and public security, that section has failed, and compliance history. So, and in regulation, one serious failure can sink the whole applications. And just one can actually sink the whole application. Three failure definitely will. So now we have ownership and control. They have failed in ownership and control. They failed in national defense and public security, and also compliance history. So what is really bothering Namibia here now? What is bothering Namibia here? Now, there are three things, okay? The first one is ownership. This is not just a red tape, you know? Namibia's ownership rule come from a long history, you know that. We are a country shaped by, you know, colonialism, exclusion, and an independent struggle that was not only political, but economic too. You understand? So after independence, policies around local participation were meant to stop key sectors from remaining permanently controlled from outside. So when a giant global operator arrives and say, judge us only by our technology, The Namibian state answers, no, no, we also judge you by who owns you. We also judge you by who controls you. We also judge you by who benefit locally. So that is, and that is not random. That's not random. That is history actually meeting, you know, policy, I can say. The whole question of ownership, we're looking at what happened to us, what shaped us. We are shaped by colonialism, we are shaped by exclusion, we are shaped by, you know, exclusion from economy, you know, participation then. So we don't want to repeat the same thing, all right? So secondly, the national security and data sovereignty. Satellite internet sounds clean and simply when it is, you know, when these things are advertised, it sounds, we want that. And that's why most of us fall into that. It's quick. It's, you know, it's a quick connectivity. It's, you know, so, but regulator look past the marketing. They look past the marketing. So they ask, if something goes wrong, who do we call? If something goes wrong, who do we call? If there is a legal order, who must comply? If data, routing, interception, or public safety concern arise, can Namibia enforce its law properly against 100 foreign control satellite network? Can you be able to do that? Well, those are not small questions, especially from the state. Those are state questions. And any serious regulator would ask them seriously. National security is very important. So we're only looking, for me, like as a consumer, I'm only concerned about a better connectivity. So, but if the enterprise is completely 100% owned by, it's foreign controlled, you know, if the satellite network is foreign controlled, then how do you, you know, how do you protect your national datas, your national security datas? So, yeah, those are very important. I mean, as much as we'll come back and continue on this.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, so we're looking at the CREN, or Namibia has actually denied the Starlink applications to operate in Namibia. So, yeah, and three things that the government or that CREN actually, Starlink wasn't cleared for. So ownership, and the other thing is also national security and data sovereignty. Who owns the data? Who will own the data if this is 100% foreign-controlled satellite network? So, yeah, that has been the issue. And the other issue then is the whole question of affordability and public interest. Yeah, this is according to what CREN has explained. So, their explanation. If Starlink had been approved, would it really solve Namibia's digital divide on its own? All right? That is where government appears to be pushing back against the hype. Okay? So a premium, a satellite product can help farms, lodges, mines, schools, clinics, and remote businesses. So, but can it reach the poorest households in informal settlements? Can it bring every village online? Can it replace the hard work of now building broader national infrastructure? Probably not. So, and I'm saying this from Crane point of view, okay? So follow the stories in the articles. So probably not. So the policy question is bigger than one brand name, okay? So Namibia's broadband agenda has long been about universal and affordable access for all. Not only good service for those who can afford the equipment and monthly fees. So it's more about universal and affordable access for all. And hopefully, these decisions, we won't regret that decision at one point. So, and this is where now the debate get interesting, my dear listeners, because there are two truths living together here. Okay. Now, one truth says Namibia is right. Namibia is right to stand firm. We have a right to stand firm. If you allow a powerful foreign company to operate first, like what they did, operate first and sort out the law later, then what is the point of having a regulator? So what is the point of having a regulator? What message do you send to local operator who must, who must comply from day one? What message do you send to investor who follow the rules? So, but the other truth saying, says Namibia must also move with urgency. Okay? Rural connectivity is not a luxury. It's not a luxury. In our modern world, it's now tied to education. Connectivity is tied to education. It's tied to e-commerce. It's tied to a farming logistic. It's tied to health services. That's why our minister of health is very, very determined in terms of digital healthcare when it comes to this. So it tied to public administration, it tied to youth opportunities. So we must also move with urgency. Yeah? If the law is too rigid for satellite era, should policemaker revisit part of it? Shouldn't they revisit part of it without surrendering? Maybe we should also not then understand that, but without also surrendering our sovereignty. Is there any way we could be able to revisit that or to, come up with a law that it doesn't allow us surrendering our sovereignty? If we want innovation, are we making it easy? Because if we want innovation, and that's what you're asking for, even for our youth here, are we not making it easy enough for legal entry? Can we not make it easier for legal entry in a way that is more easier? Well, I mean, those are fair way of looking at it as well. So, and notice this. CREN has already approved one web link services through the local partners. Now, that tells us that from what we're saying now, this is not a blanket war against satellite internet. So it is a message that says, well, come in Namibia, but come correctly. So given now, when you're looking at Starlink, it says, well, we have, one web linked services here, that has come in properly. So if you come, following the law, the rules, well, you're most welcome. Come through a structure Namibia can regulate, come in a way that fits our law. Yeah? So the issue is not technology versus government. Well, that's what I'm thinking. It's not the issue. It's not about technology versus government. I think it is compliance versus non-compliance. Actually, that's the thing. Are you complying with our law? Are you complying with our, what with fit our interest? So, dear listeners, here's the question maybe we should look at this morning. So should Namibia then soften rules for a company that may,
that many believe could improve access quickly. Should we have, you know, maybe soften our rules? Because this company would definitely improve access quickly, you know. Or should the country hold the line like now it did, the line, and say even the biggest global brand must first respect Namibian law? And if the answer is yes to law, then the next question is this: how do we make sure ordinary Namibian now, in the villages, on the farm, in the small town, are not the ones left waiting, you know, while the lawyers and regulator battle it out in winter? We still, you know, those people still don't have the services. They don't still have the connectivity. So my take, Crane decision is defensible on the law. I think it's defensible on the law. But the bigger national job is not really finished. Okay? The bigger national job is not finished. So, well, we understand Namibia must protect sovereignty. We must protect our sovereignty. Yes. But it must also, we must also move faster, smarter, and more broadly on a universal connectivity. How do we going to achieve universal connectivity? Which is part of our national development plan. Otherwise, we will win the compliance argument, and I understand that we win the compliance argument and still lose on the development race. On the development race, we may lose, but we may win on the compliance argument. So the bottom line is that Starlink was not rejected. Was not rejected because Namibia hates technology. It was not because of that. It was rejected because regulators say the company did not meet the legal standard on three things: on ownership, on security oversight, and compliance history. So the bigger national challenge now is to protect our rules, possibly, and still expand affordable internet. So as much as we so rigid about that, let's then expand affordable internet to the people who need it most. Okay, what is plan B? What is your plan? And that is the real unpacking of the day. So, yeah, what do you think? Well, what are you thinking? What is your take about the rejection of Starlink applications, given some of these explanations by Crane? 08-08-08-3-3-6-0-9-1. So come through and have your say on the matter. 08-3-3-6-0-9-1. So what is your take?
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu Moambo, dengera selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Yes, this is Eagle FM, the I. And thanks for joining us. If you are joining us now, we are looking at Starlink. And their application to operate in Namibia has been rejected by CRAN. And we were looking at some of the reasons why, the explanation that CRAN actually given, why the application was rejected or denied. And please make sure that you can read the story, in our, e-newspaper in the Villager. So the story it's right there for more details. So yeah, there's a tension in terms of, when you look at some of the reasons which are defensible, as I said, in terms of law. The CRAN's decision is defensible in terms of law, as I said, and that's my take, because, you know, when it comes to national security and data sovereignty, I think that's a very important aspect, you know, and if it's 100% foreign owned, how do you regulate that? You know, how do you regulate that? So that's very important. Ownership of 51%, that's very debatable. And I think in the next stories we will talk about that more, because that has become a little bit of a problem. That's also contributed to the, that's also distributed to the drop of Namibia in terms of, mining, in terms of, investment attractiveness or appeal. So, and as a result, we have actually lost, you know, a potential investor. So definitely as a consequences of that, we can be able to see that the other thing is also I think a whole question of development.
Wahara kukutho mbinga mesindana jo shinara kuzapo mawavi umirongo hitatu wukapo mbanda. Shandika ano ngundoe yetanga. Mama tigafana wotsa ya kuku Easter Tournament. Chiro taika karako mamasiku wa tatu. Siku wa kamano wapiri umbogo tungu. Poka pareke tanga kotsa ya kuku Meheke District. Umaudhano kwa unjuka. Adhano ya teri kwa opo ya kareri kuhi umvura umirongo ndatu na tanu. Mono tavro husi ndana ushimara shumavu umirongo kamano na ntano kwa umuma. Changita anu unduwe nina, kia ovirime, nama thire gane, na milongwa tano haviketu uti. Kwa mbono ina omvura o milongwa ndatu na hamano shuka pumbanda, otamu kusa ombinga, mo legends category kako kere, mono to sindana shumarwa o maovi o mlongo na kakheali, nama thire gatano kwa umuma. Changita anu unduwe, mama thire gatano, kia ovi aliketu uti. Ukadono uonjuka. Saya kuku anyo Easter Tournament, na naini mpatira konje, changita anu ongunduwe, mama thire gatano, no dara o mama thire gatano aliketu uti. Como wiere galwe dako dengera nakapa konono noketa tuno ime oimenone ombariari ontano ndatu no hamana nenge kudasuva konono noketa tuno ime ohiari nondatu ndatu heari ongoi nondatu yari.
Well, that tournament has definitely improved. It was a success last year. Make sure that you register in whatever category that is available for competition. So yeah, the moolah has improved. It's quite a lot of money that involved in now. Make sure that you take part of the competition. You take part in that tournament, and go and support your whoever are taking place. Go and support your team, even if you're not taking part yourself. Go and support the team, and be part of the tournament and the celebration and the vibe and so it's something that I said I will be going on this year. I promised to go, so I will see. So all right, it's a very great tournament. It was very successful last year. We covered that, and hopefully, maybe we will do this year as well. Hopefully. I'm not saying we will, so, but hopefully we will. All right. So, yeah. So what is your take on Starlink? So do please come through. 08333 66091 08333 66091. So what is your take of this? All right. Yeah, that's where we are. That's where we are. About Starlink. I was just saying, the other part of what I was saying is that the tensions where we as I said, in terms of, you know, protecting our sovereignty, that's a very important. But is there no way that we, when we're talking about being innovative, being, you know, and also we're talking about being the achieving the universal connectivity, how do we gonna do that? That could be a missed opportunity. That might be a missed opportunity. And as I said, we will win the compliance argument. That's very true. The explanation is legit. But we still lose. And this is what I said, we still lose when it comes to development race. This is an opportunity we might definitely, because we have many, there are many other African countries. There are a lot of African countries that are actually have taken up this network. So it's really has improved, especially when, and it's known for its connectivity in the rural areas. So in most of these countries, because of that. So yeah, and I hear in part of the country there where they are. It's actually even being used in war for surveillance and other things as well. So yeah. So all right. So make sure. What is your take? What is your what do you think about Starlink? Have we missed the opportunity, or the government was all right to say no because of the explanation that Crane has just provided? What do you think? 08333 66091. 08333 66091. So you're most welcome to come through over that item, that story. We can also move ahead and let's get to the caller. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man. How are you?
I'm all right, my brother.
How is the morning?
The morning is okay. We're having a beautiful weather. We are like in the coast.
Really? It has been raining. It also rained here. The weather is also quite good, but probably it's not as much as good as yours. Yeah.
Oh, this one is lovely.
Okay, baby making kind of weather.
I'm telling you.
yeah,
we have to order maybe in a movie we've been waiting for. Then you just stay indoor for the whole day. Where the kid that went to school.
this is where many people making excuses when like that and people haven't shown up.
I'm sick. Then you know. You know already.
Then you know. Don't even believe it, you know?
Yeah, Mike. You know, when it comes to starting them, somehow there are a lot of things which you have to take into consideration. Let me say, now we are talking about the respected party is like ownership.
Yeah, the ownership and sovereignty.
Yeah.
Security.
The rest of the country, security.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, those two, security and surveillance of the country.
Yeah.
But ownership, no. If you are talking about ownership, why we have to give up the what? The service plan that we're having 30%. No. It's out of the roof, that one. That one again, not tick. We must just leave it. There's a question mark there. Ownership.
Yeah.
Okay, now we talk about service of the country. Yes, we understand, it's true. Because remember one thing now, we saw what is happening even to Iran.
Yeah.
It's what is the, this is inside the one which is happening and people are using it. I'm telling you, well, you are fighting, trying to take your what? AK-7, which we are most admiring to have. people are bombing with what they don't, where they are sitting in their what? In their sitting room.
Yeah, they're sitting, you know, they're sipping, they're actually, you know, smoking cigarette, looking at how it's, you know, where it's going to land.
Where to trying to hide.
The world is moving fast. This is the thing. The world is moving fast and slowly by slowly, you're just staying behind times, seriously.
And what is happening to us? Is happening to us? Because mostly we rely on too much foreigners, and that's why Iran will have to keep up the war going so long, because America thought maybe it will be like a 24-hour thing.
Yeah.
But they've been prepared themselves. Even they are detecting some of what missile before even arrive. But we here...
I mean, Iran knew this is going to happen, and they have prepared this for many, many years. They're not stupid. It's not like, okay, this is just happening.
We remember our slogan is like, we are the enemy to none, friend to all. Okay. That one.
They have prepared this for a long time. Yeah.
I'm telling you, but in general life, people, he just hit you because maybe you are tall. They just hit you because you are short.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that, Kamano. You are heavy. You don't have any enemy. Not at all. And for you to stand on your own is when you are having something, people are scared of you.
Yeah.
But you are just grown like that. You are friend to everybody. It's a problem.
But you also have to be very, very, very careful. You know, as a small country, you don't have that much muscles. As much as we can be proud as Namibian and said, okay, when I understand when it comes to our minerals and things like that, those are things that we can have control and decide, you know, how that pin out. But well, when it comes to geopolitics, you are really a small fish in an ocean, you know.
In the ocean. But sometimes people, they can notice you when you're having, you know, you are showing your muscle. Look at the North Korea. We understand it because of the population, maybe, but our parts, we are having everything. Our resources are here, which are being used. And that's why the American numbers are there to stand up. We're not talking about it. Namibia is talking about it when it's in. That Namibia has become a potential when it comes to oil, when it comes to what? Why? I never said it to our state house in Namibia. Remember one thing. And the one thing I'm telling you, sometimes you think it can be because of the competition. That's why they are denying, the clan are denying the what?
It's an interest. I mean, who are the stakeholders? Who have interest? You know, actually, when especially when it's come to ownership, you know, we kind of like, what share do we have in this? You know, the who and who sometimes is like, what share we can have in this? If we can bring in only company that we can be able to control locally. Locally. And sometimes it might be to your disadvantage because then you have locally ownership, but then things the performance and the service delivery, and service delivery becomes poor. You understand?
Yeah, when you're having a monopoly, and you know that you don't have any challenge, you do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's what is happening in our country. Everything in Windhoek, but sometimes your network is very jacked. It's up and down. It's taking even 5 minutes for you to download the picture.
Yeah.
But the other thing also, you look at Telecom, and also MTC.
The worst one. Even the worst,
Yeah.
I don't know even why they cannot challenge MTC or Palastos. I'm telling you, they are...
Looking at the infrastructure that they have, they've put up, you know, and this network is just coming in and change completely the whole, you know, the whole operations. You understand? So yeah, it means they need actually to completely overhaul the way we're operating at this moment to compete with that. That also a competition issue. It's also a competition issue. It's not just about that. Okay, no, because of this and this. It's also a competition issue. Yeah.
Yeah. It's what I'm telling you, and the problem also is that when you look at the way we are moving toward the technology, that we are not really upgrading anything. Just imagine the last time I told you that, no, a kid is finishing a grade 12. Come to a higher institution.
Yeah.
It's why even struggling to upload this assignment. But these things are supposed to be taught already, like maybe in grade 10, grade 11 there.
Mm.
But just imagine. Now the problem is that we, as with our technology, we are moving too slow in chameleon way. That's why I was telling you that no, if you are not keeping up the way Ilana, they try to upgrade themselves, the way the level where it is. Because remember one thing, that now starting coming, we are, okay, let them say that we allow it. When it comes to even our data, we're not able to control it. When it comes to even the way they are going to spy our government, we will not able to detect anything.
But the question is, do we control our data even now?
That is the question. That is the question.
Do we even
control data? Last time I remember that the people are not able to trace even the what the guys who are stealing money from the other people are being.
We don't even control our data even now.
Then what is the question for us to reject the what is starting me? There are so many questions hanging there. I'm telling you. Because remember one thing now, when you are looking at what our sovereign of the country.
Yeah, just hold on. Guy, just hold on for a few minutes, a few seconds. Yeah.
Okay. Mm.
Oh, I have a business idea, but I need help to get it started.
My dear, I have the perfect solution for you. Look no further than the Basecamp Business Incubator.
Basecamp Business Incubator? What's that?
The Basecamp Business Incubator is a startup incubator and innovation hub on a mission to educate, equip, and empower visionary entrepreneurs. Tune into the business and economics segment every Monday live on Eagle FM from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to hear about the testimonies from the young entrepreneurs that have walked through the hallways of the Basecamp Business Incubator. Visit www.basecamphub.com for more information and start your business journey now.
All right.
Yeah, let me wrap up. You know, the thing is, when it comes to even starting sometimes, I think the benefit we can get is that when you are in the rural area, you are able to even when I'm here, I'm able to ask somebody that take a picture of that cattle which you are saying is sick.
Yeah.
Then I take that picture to the water laboratory. I mean, to the water, to the what do you call these people? Are no veteran. Which are, what is this? This cattle is sick. Is having this condition. This is the picture. You see, this one of kind of benefits. And also when it comes to even like moving faster technology, and even like in our industry, we are doing TikTok and what. They're able to do it faster.
Hmm? Yeah, when you are uploading, it's faster. When you sometimes you want to watch things, stream things live. You want to now you are doing a streaming, so
yeah.
Your streaming will be sometimes your streaming actually just cut, you know, or
in the middle of the
you know
network issue,
you know. So you wait until certain times when you can actually do your own streaming, And it's just that the convenience, the inconvenience that we have so far, and we shouldn't, by this time, the world has moved far away.
Oh boy, they move far away,
you know. They have really moved far away, and we still actually, you know, you still sometimes, like when you work, there are moments where you cannot just open, you know, you are researching certain things, and it takes time to open.
To open it,
and sometimes you even leave, and then you still come back.
I'm sorry, yeah, and then still loading. Because look now, even time, maybe because of everybody's at home, I'm telling you, the network becomes something else. You try to download something, my friend, it will take you age.
Yeah.
For you to get, you may able even to go to town, come back, your phone is still loading.
Yeah, sometimes you give up. And yeah. That's why sometimes you just give up, because you can't download certain things. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing also that what I want is, so for them, really, if like now our MTC, they need to pull up their socks. Our telecommunication, they need to upgrade our the material which they are using now.
But the thing is, as you said earlier, if you are the monopoly that you talked about earlier on, is that you not be able to do that when you know that you are the only one, nobody's pushing you. So.
Yeah.
That's the issue. But when you have a technology like that, you definitely also have to up your standard. They take their time. Look, we don't even 5G, you know.
That's the thing. Hmm? Now, just remember, other countries are never, and they are moving far away. Hmm. Sometimes you do even WhatsApp, streaming. With a person, maybe your friend in the UK, and then you're just in the middle of the what? Something, every time you the phone is going off.
Yeah.
Then you have to call back again. What happened? Ah, no, because of the network maybe or something. Just imagine. But the thing also with, I think, as a Namibian, Starlink, I think we need to consider when it comes to Lulalia.
Yeah.
And the thing also for us, maybe we can set up something for to control it, but I don't think we're able to control them, since that they come from wherever they come from, and the equipment is already done where they without your maybe yeah. But I think we can
track
them down.
The question is, Mantumi, how do other countries actually do it? Because this is in Kenya, this is in other, this is in Zambia, this is in. What policies do they come up with? You know, maybe those are things that you're looking at. How do other countries actually, you know, deal with the whole issue of ownership, the whole issue of data sovereignty or security? So those are the things you can look at, how other countries are handling it. And maybe you can learn from that. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think that is what we need, seriously. And the thing also when it comes to Namibia, sometimes I think we take too much police with it to address our issue. Look, we have a problem also when we come here to, if we, you know this Yango.
Yeah.
Yango didn't pay anything. So because what I'm saying is our competition, but my friend, just imagine Yango doesn't have a DP, yeah. Yango doesn't have a tax permit, Yango doesn't have a what, but Yango still operating because Kamau law is not able to address those. But we are talking the same thing. If you are able to refuse Starlink, how did the Yango come to the to what? To because remember these are Indian who are just operating in Namibia. But our local like municipality don't get a benefit out of Yango.
Yeah.
But they are still making money. How does it happen?
Yeah. You see? Yeah.
This is an issue which also we have to talk about it when you're talking about ownership.
So sometimes many people comes here because there's a loophole. There are always loopholes. They say that in Namibia, well, Benon Buffy.
My Starlink also sometimes that some of us were able to do business very well when it come. Okay. Because now, you remember, we every time we are recharging NTC every month. I mean, maybe a month you are using even like a 400 something.
Well, forget about it, my friend. Yeah.
Yeah, NTC is not even coming up with a way that you're barely charging the whole year like this. Yeah. What about we give you a phone, then you continue this way?
Yeah.
You see? They are not even the way they are marketing themselves. And the way they are really charging us, like, you put away today. Just a couple of maybe two videos you download, your details are finished. You see?
Yeah.
No. I think it's sometimes we need those competition coming.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Anyway, let me give other people a chance.
All right, thanks for coming through.
Mm. All right.
All right.
A very good morning to you. If you would like to come through on this topic, please do so before we move on.
Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, man.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Mm.
Yeah, darling.
Yeah.
I remember when we were... No, that's the reason we'll come it up. But it didn't come it up because of Kran.
Yeah.
It came up because of South Africa. Geopolitics is playing a big role when it comes.
Yeah.
Yeah, South Africa rejected with the same.
They rejected it. Then must say, well, it's because I'm white, not because of, you know.
Yeah, because of the BEE. Because I remember there is a lot of projects that they went on the drown because of the, you remember the there was four contracts of constructing the power plant, in South Africa, and because of the BE that were not having any engineers, those projects were cut it off.
Were delaying
because of, yeah. So those are the issues that now this
and
is proven
that. And the BE has really caused havoc, economic havoc in South Africa, seriously.
Yeah. No, it's the same in Namibia because, to look at now, I don't know, as I said, from the Tata Nyoma era and compared to Poamba and the others, it looked like the BEA benefited more than the time of Tata Nyoma. That's why Tata Nyoma was progressing because of look at who are the players, not to say who are the benefiters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because now it looked like, as I said, if you look at the private companies that are doing better in Namibia and comparing with the same competition with the government are failing.
Mm.
Because of their management. And if you are comparing now other countries like Zimbabwe, for example, Zimbabwe have private telecommunication.
Yeah.
That are doing business in there. So it's quite very good to see that they are improving because of the competition. But in countries like Namibia where the monopoly is playing a big role, like the management of MTC, it doesn't do much into saving the people.
Yeah.
Because them, they're after salaries. And that is what you have to see that it's a tough one for them, Nampindo and others, and to see that, you know, people are suffering because of paying and you are not getting the services. So as I explained to last week that if you look at the public services, where those management don't care because they are salary collectors.
Yeah.
Comparing with the private sector services. Sector services you are paying on time.
Mm.
And here in the government, we are paying on time, but they are not giving us, they are not servicing us.
The service that we definitely need here.
Mm. So you buy your data from MTC for $50, it's finishing in even 30 minutes.
Mm.
But you buying this one for Paratus for $40, it lasts for a day. Yeah. Or sometimes it's for 2 days.
Yeah.
So those are the packaging that MTC doesn't have because him is just after money. It's not after the service. And if you go to telecom, it's the same issue. Telecom, you have those cheap packages, the affordable packages that you can do. But
nobody uses this. Nobody uses the service.
No, the service, they don't use it because you'll be disappointed.
Yeah.
The thing is just loading the whole 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up now go to telecom, I mean, to MTC.
You have the data, but those data wouldn't help you anyway, because you will never open up anything.
Those are the things that I say. Geopolitics is playing a big role, especially into the stubborn or greedy one that we are having.
Yeah.
But to be honest, people are suffering because of services that they are needing. I think BEE, they must also prove in us that group, how many people are there to see them that they are owning this company? Because you cannot just mention the BEE. I remember when it at Quentin Montasha, we're talking about that. We don't know the BEE.
Yeah.
But they wanted to be a part of the investment. But we don't know them.
Mm.
Because they are not black people that you can see. They are doing business in South Africa. And this is what we are having in Namibia. Maybe if you are looking at the cars that are driving around, we can see that, this is a BEE. Yeah. But where is their company?
Yeah.
Where is their services? Yeah.
But the issue that I have, ne, is it's looking at that we're talking about universal connectivity. Now, thinking of the rural connectivity in the rural 70% by 2035 or something like that. So, but first of all, we don't even have the regulatory framework that actually guide us to that in terms of policy. There are still bills that haven't passed, in that regard. And the other thing is also that, we don't seem to know exactly practically how do we get there? How do we get there?
But in terms of fiber, we are doing good.
Yeah.
The network is good. If you look at now what is the Paratus is, not like the telecom one, the route for Paratus is providing services to the companies that they have roads or even houses that they have roads.
Hmm.
But they have certain places or towns that they have a license to operate in. Some towns they don't have.
Yeah.
And those are the people that are suffering, including now the rural area. Because the rural area, you cannot pull one fiber cable from Nana to Umdaungilo.
Yeah.
For one house. No, that is, we are talking about thousands of dollars. Yeah. So that is the same issue impacting with the transform of manpower.
Yeah.
Yeah. The services will not come to you because you are only one applying that. So the fiber is doing good. If you could, as I said, if you look at now the wireless, the MTC wireless, where most of people are using the devices, cell phone and what, they are very expensive.
Yeah.
And that is what Mimenetumbo needed to understand, in that. No, we don't have a problem with MTC to giving us, but MTC doesn't have a package that people are affording. We have to look at that. So fiber is doing good. It doesn't have any issues, but telecom fiber is this. I know their roads not providing good because I was having it and I canceled it because of that. They are also rotting the whole day and they are accumulating a lot of depression because your bill never can go down.
Is the Starlink, it doesn't use fibers, isn't it?
No. Starlink is a wireless thing because it's coming from the satellite.
And how, looking at where we're moving, isn't this challenge? Wouldn't this be a challenge for telecoms that are still actually using for communication? Telecoms that are still using fibers.
Yeah, it is because there is also impacting between MTC and and telecom when it comes to these towers that they are having in the villages.
Yeah.
So MTC doesn't want telecom to putting up in their connecting on those towers.
Yeah.
So they are also wanting them to putting up that. And telecom says, you know, I don't have enough custom to put in the tower that I can just using yours.
Mm.
So that is another issue which is the government, as I said, the management is also not sitting on one table and said, who is making profit here to supporting the government? That's another issue. Yeah, and now Paratus is also the same because Paratus were focusing on the fiber. Yeah, but if you look at also its wireless, it's not doing very well.
Yeah,
on the devices, it doesn't really satisfy the custom to leaving MTC or to leaving. No, they don't. That is where the problem we are saying. Maybe by 2035, where we are talking about, we might end up having a lot of people that they are using devices and suffering more.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we might end up suffer for this smuggling route for starting.
Yeah.
That is another issue which they must be preparing on. Because starting, you cut it, your thing, and then they look at the geopolitics that is there.
Yeah.
Because this is not the regulation that we are talking about. We are talking about the geopolitics. Because the reason that you are giving is the same that South African given. So those are the problems that it might end up getting more. Elon Musk might end up coming up with something that can pulling out for the connected.
I think we're just following our big brothers. I think South Africa have more threat, security threat than us actually. So if we compare ourselves to South Africa.
Yeah, but what is happening to South Africa? I think it's only one or two private companies for those data providers. And what we need to look at, as I say, the smuggling might end up a lot because that is what's happening to Iran.
Yeah,
for them to jamming in that cameras and doing those, they use the Starlink. Yeah, and that is also happening to India. Starlink was operating in India illegally there. Yeah, and comparing to the countries, neighboring countries that are using now Starlink, which means the satellite, we are stealing heavy satelliting on our 911 and the 112. Mm. Yeah, that is also ghost tied into the. You might end up. You buying something from Starlink, and then you are using it. I know those guys; they are very dangerous into because of geopolitics that I am seeing in the country.
Yeah.
So the smuggling may end up coming there because they have been to improve. This is two countries that they are there. They are good market. South Africa and Namibia, they are very very good countries when it comes to market. So they may end up focusing on what are we going to do if we have. Why we are not increasing our frequencies from Zambia so that it can reach up to Grootfontein, and then we're putting up one in Botswana that can reach up to Swakop. And then you are catching the whole country.
Yeah.
That is what maybe they might end up doing that. Because this is not a reason. Ownership of the, as I say, guys, let us serious. We are giving money to the people who are not doing anything to the Namibians.
Yeah.
That is something we need to know. And where we are going serious, we might end up selling our resources for nothing in the future.
Yeah, no, that's true.
If those guys are coming with power money to buy the whole country, they will do that.
Yeah, and that's why I said, this whole things of ownership is coming from what we have experienced, you know,
yes,
historically.
We are already losing that 81%.
Yeah.
81.9% of the mining. It's not, we are not doing business.
Yeah.
You are not making profit here.
Mm.
The whole 500 million is going with those people. And you are telling me that you are doing business. Mm. What if these people coming and buying the ownership from you? What will you do?
we will suffer more because government will not making money.
Yeah.
So I think we need more people that can really go away from the geopolitics and look at really the benefit of, are we having power to ourselves or the, is it our political transaction of power, is it working for us or we just because of the party that we are believing in?
Yeah.
So those are the issues that we are having in these countries. But if you comparing yourself with Kenya, they don't have power, the same power that we are having. Private companies are coming with power, muscles into capturing the market.
Yeah.
And that is what they are doing even in Nigeria. They're buying power from those big guys in the country. They're taking over and they're controlling everything. And that is what one day this country will be. Because if you look at where we are today for the mining that was making money, the fishing that were also a strong bone of the country, it's now go away.
Yeah. And that's where there was that issue of the South African government captured by, what is it? You know, you could have,
that's what I'm saying. Some power country guys, they can come. Like Elon Musk is the one we are now playing with.
Yeah.
That's a boar.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a boar guy. It's not, he can even capture those guys for growth from them. And then you're finding them flashing money, buying powers.
Yeah.
Stellenbosch guys, they can do that.
Yeah.
And that is what sometimes they don't want to interfering in us, but they look where they look, where there's a profit is where they can capture one day. I'm warning you. That is what the people should, politicians should be, look at that and look at what the political killing in South Africa.
Yeah.
It was not engineered by the black people. It's engineered by the white.
Yeah.
Because of what? The ownership that you are talking about, 51% that you are talking about, they don't want those one who are benefited to be a part of the regulators. So, Mike.
All right.
All right, Mike.
Thanks for coming through.
A very good morning to you, and when we come back, we get into our second story. Or you please do come through and have your opinion or your reaction to our first story.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM. The I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's very true. This is your number one talk radio station. And if you are joining us, this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. Yeah, and make sure that you download. If you have a brother or a sister or a cousin or a family member or a friend who might be in an area where, they may at the moment might not be able to access the frequency. Tell them, please, you're not missing out at all. Or what you need to do is just download the app, the Eagle FM app, and you are connected. Then you are connected anywhere, anytime. You can be able to listen to Eagle FM. And sometime maybe you're sitting in your office, you can always listen to us on a website. Okay, just open your website, Eagle FM, so then you can be able to listen to us as well. So, yeah. Tell your cousin, your brother, your sister, your friend, let them download the app and so that they don't miss anything. And actually, they have more. When you listen to the app, they have more advantage because there are so many features on that, on the app. So, yeah, make sure that you do that. Send the message. Spread the message. Okay? All right. So, good morning and welcome. So, welcome to Unpacking the Day. So, yeah. So let's get into another
another discussion, another the relevant topic, actually relevant to what we have been talking already, especially when it comes to ownership. So, yeah, it's about mining. And we are talking about whether this country is making itself attractive or unattractive, especially or unattractive to investors, or risky for investors. Now, the issue is this, okay? Namibia has dropped sharply in a major global mining survey, and one of the big reasons being pointed out is the policy uncertainty. So simply investors are starting to ask whether Namibia still look predictable enough for them actually to bring in their money here. So there is Namibia still look predictable enough, you know, for us to bring our money there. So now before we get into deeper into this, let us first understand why this is important, because it's always important to understand the context in which, you know, we're discussing this. So when you talk about mining, mining in Namibia is not a small matter in this country. So when we talk about mining, we're talking about the lifeblood of this country, lifeblood of this economy. Of Namibia's economy. So it's one of the biggest engine of the economy. So in 2024, for example, mining contributed 13.3% to Namibia's GDP, and it brought in 53.1% of merchandise export. So it paid more than 5.6 billion in taxes and related payments, and it's also directly employed. Mining is also directly employed over 20,800 people. So it's a massive sector when it comes to our economy, definitely. So when people in the mining sector now start saying investors are worried, I think we must all pay attention. So we must all pay attention, because when mining feels pressure, a lot of other sectors also start to feel that pressure as well. So we're going to look at what exactly happened when we come back.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwa weda ko ombuni kiri ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no mafa kumurungu wa indu weri rongere kusha umune ondengu okura kwe imba una ovyu nedia peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu no hambu umwe mumwe stoo twika ovinki no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva owa peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva owa peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano Kumiyedia mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanu kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omaruhiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina, itako na wina rishangita jinon.
Omutiha, utekiro.
All right, welcome back. And we are talking about whether... We're talking about whether this country is making itself attractive or risky to investors. Now, what exactly happened according to the 2025 FRESA Institute survey, Namibia investment attractiveness score dropped from 66 in 2024 to 56 in 2025. So the country also fell from 30th place out of 82 jurisdictions to 51st out of 68. So that is not, when you look at that, that is not just a step backward, actually. That is a serious drop. It's a really a serious drop. And what that tells us, what that tells the world, is that Namibia is being seen
as a less attractive for mining investment than before. So we look more less attractive. So this kind of survey tells now the world that Namibia is actually less attractive for mining investment than it was before. Now, maybe look at it in this way. Let's look at this in a very simple way. Imagine you want to open a shop, okay? You find the right place, you save your money, and you are ready to hire people, okay? But every week, the rules seem to change, okay? Today, they say this. Tomorrow, they say maybe something else. You know, the next week, they clarify, and after that, another official says something that sounds different again. You know, at some point, you start asking yourself, my brother, you know, do I really want to put my money here? You know, it's a simple demonstration, but that is what investors are doing. That's what investors are doing, and what seems to have shaken them most is the debate around local ownership. So especially talk that new mining project might need 51% Namibian ownership. And this is coming from the Chamber of Mines, you know? So that the investors are concerned, especially with certain rules, and especially when it comes to the local ownership, new mining project, you know, might need 51% of Namibian ownership. So, and we just have seen, what happened to Starlink. We're just talking about Starlink first. You know, that's one of the regulations, that Starlink has to pass through. Okay. To be cleared for. So now later, with this issue, and I think on top of this whole debate around local ownership, on top of that, there are also concerns. There are concerns around new minerals bill, you know, the new mineral bills that hasn't gone through the parliament yet, that hasn't passed through the parliament yet. There's also issue of water legislation. There's issue of environmental rules, you know, and broader uncertainty over where policy is actually heading. So all of that, okay, have now contributed, according to the Chamber of Mines, to investors actually, you know, pulling their feet, dragging their feet now, looking at Namibia and said, really? Do I want to put my money there? So, but later the government also clarified that there's no fix. And this is confusing. This is exactly what we're talking about. So, and later the government then clarified that there's no fixed local ownership threshold. So what is the 51%? What is the 51% of Namibian ownership is all about? Where is that? Is it an act? Is it a bill? Is it where is that? And that was important, I think, for the government. That was important because that helped as well to clarify. But you know how these things work. You know how these things work. Once doubt enters the market, people do not just forget. Once the doubt enters the market, people not forget. People just don't forget. Okay? So, and also, but we also have to be really honestly have to be fair here. Something that we were just talking now with the previous caller now, we were talking about that the call for more local ownership is not unreasonable. Okay? It's not unreasonable. In fact, many Namibians would say it is long overdue. It's long overdue that our resources must benefit our people more directly. So, and honestly, that's a valid point. It's a valid point. Now, this country cannot sit with mineral in the ground, watch trucks moves, you know, truck moving with your minerals, watch export leave, and then ordinary people are asking, we are left asking, but where is the benefit for us? And we're even talking about where the mining is actually taking place. Not some of us that are far away in Ondangwa. In Uis, okay? In Uis, in Arandas, in town. Are they benefiting? They only see the trucks that are actually moving stuff. They only see the truck that moves stuff, the export that leaves. But as I said, the ordinary people are left asking, but where is the benefit for us? And this is what the government has to wrestle with. And that question is fair. It's a question. That question is fair. Where is the benefit for us? This is what we need to ask as citizens of this country. Where is the benefit for us? So we want empowerment. People want empowerment. People want jobs. People want jobs. People want local business to get a bigger share of contracts. People want skill transfer. We talk about, we hear this skill transfer. Until when we just skill transfer and it doesn't happen? So people want to feel that when this country say it is rich in natural resources, when we say we are rich in natural resources, that richness must show in the lives of ordinary people. It should show in our pocket. But does that show in your pocket? In your pocket, does that show? That richness must show in the lives of every Namibian. Most of us know Mamesho Kongina Tumon. No Mamesho Kongina Tumon, Maratim Jay gave him. Well, maybe only no Kawanongopolo, Tushingolino, Kawanongopolo Kakeshko. The golden copper and all that, they're not yours. And that's why we said this ownership thing is this local content ownership. It's really, 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 but are we just talking about it? Are we just talking about? So the national goal itself is not the problem, you know? Now, the problem in terms of that as we talked, being talked about here, that chase away the thing is the problem is uncertainty of the law, of the policy. All right.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, familia.
Bon dia, como está?
Estamos bem, obrigado.
Ah, não tem problema?
Não, nunca tem problema. Estamos na Namíbia, tá bom.
Na Namíbia, tá bom.
Tá bom,
né? Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my brother, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, ownership.
Mm.
So, okay, it's fine. Ownership is fine. Okay, everything is good. But how long are we going to suffer because of this? This, you know, MPC is doing well.
Yeah.
But who think the data is or to buy airtime is so cheap? It's very expensive.
It's not.
Even though you buy data today, you don't use it a week when you come from the village where there's no network. When you come back, that data is gone. So now we want a company which I can also, I'm not debating to the N-League to come back, but what I'm debating is like, don't we have companies who can come on board to compete with MTC?
Yeah, forgot the name now, but there's the one that's becoming, that's going to come through, that has registered with the ministry or with CREN. Yeah, so let's hope that that changes their state quo. Yeah.
They should come. This song of political ways to say, okay, fine, like a link or whatever, whatnot. But what we want a better life. We want an easy life. Now, if I cannot afford to buy a 60 away gig or whatever to follow people in internet, what about somebody that doesn't have a job? How can this guy be on the internet? And life of today, you learn everything from the AI or from the internet.
Yeah, I think that's alive now.
Yes, and the world is moving forward.
Yeah.
We are still buying data, my brother, data of 60 or 80. Just imagine somebody who are working. This guy's salary is, let me stop somewhere here. So his salary is maybe like 1,000. Now this guy also is having good ideas to participate on this kind of Facebook or whatever, whatnot.
Yeah.
But is difficult for this guy to be up to date for a month.
You know, as I said earlier on, the connectivity is not luxury anymore. It's everything tied to internet. It's tied to connectivity.
Yes. Right.
Whether it's your, we could be having, you know, digital, we could be having, you know, what is in schools could have been easier for children to learn. But still, we have actually people using chalkboard and, you know, not even those who are using that are lucky ones that have actually facilities. You still have actually places where there's nothing at all, you know?
Yes.
So, and as I said, people have moved away from there. You are far behind. You're really far behind where the world is now.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
You know, you go to some countries, you find like a older lady of 80 years old, he can operate this model phones. He can even send WhatsApp, he can even talk in WhatsApp, he can even say how he feel today. But when we come to our country, people are still there's only a few who are enjoying this benefit of ownership. So they are happy enjoying while others are suffering. No, we don't. We are tired of this kind of thing. We need a competition when it comes to this internet. People are suffering really. They don't have even enough food.
There's a quick commercial coming up quickly. Just hold on a few seconds. Yeah.
Kapena we sharadingiri o kuinyanyu za karisho mawadha no wakombo watsea kuku Easter Soccer Tournament mwike ndanjono erondo. Tuwaimina anopoka pari kwa mawadha no kotsea kuku mwishitopo rasha Eheke District. Zato nyanyu kilo nipamu. Shinasha nuundunda wa mange shefiro la ndesha radio yomarandithiro kondando wa shike ochimari wa chondora matere gerigatano. Shinasha nuyeri na tangu wa wedhopo kwa tathana na akapa kongwazi honora wa heta tuwa imo eriari one ombari eriari onano.
All right, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Really, we need to have concern about our lives as well. You know, women rights.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone can come to this kind of thing. People are not enjoying themselves. They are still side line it.
Yeah.
And there's somebody who's so happy to say no, we are doing well in terms of ownership and what my brother, we are suffering.
Yeah.
We want a grace when I go out, let me say I'm entering window. I just go talk automatically to a Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
I go whatever. Now you need to buy data, my brother, so expensive. You need to do this. Now think about our elders who are in the north. Sometimes in agriculture. The system is through for you to learn more. You must go follow this internet, or you must go to the Wi-Fi to get access. It's difficult for this person to be up to date. Now you buy, as I said, a data of 60. You go to a remote area. There's no network.
Yeah.
Now when you come back, the test data is gone. Who uses it? If I did not use it,
yeah.
I want to know who uses my data. If I use. I didn't even went to internet because I went to the remote area and my internet went off. When I came back to the Wi-Fi, these data are gone. Who used my data? No,
you forfeit it. You are given. There's always terms and conditions. You said you should be using it at this, you know, at this is. You haven't used it, you know, then you're going to forfeit it. So because that is what in the contract. Yeah. So when you're buying it, yeah? So,
yeah.
Mm. All right, man.
No, we need really more companies who can compete with these guys.
Yeah.
For them to go down, because this life of today is about internet and AI. So now we are behind when it comes, because we are behind in terms of capability. Don't have that potential to buy data every day. Just imagine you have like 3 kids who are university, who are staying in a Havana. Now these kids, they need data every week for them to have their access to their phone, because things now they are being sent through their phones for them to follow up. Now how this guy gonna succeed is studies. It's very difficult, my brother. Very difficult. So we needed our government to look about this kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Thank you, my brother.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
Thank you. Mm.
Yeah, we're talking about the drop of Namibia in investment attractiveness, and what we say the Chamber of Mines saying is that, you know, the uncertainty has become the problems and when it comes to some of the things that we have mentioned already. So because, you know, one thing about investor is that the investor can deal with tough rules. You know, they can deal with tough rules, but they struggle with unclear rules, you know. And if you are strict but clear, at least they know where they stand. That's one thing about investors. So you can be strict, but if you are clear, they know exactly where they stand. But if the message is mixed, if one side says this, another side later soften it up, and then investor begin to read that, they begin to read that that's a risk. Eh? And in business, a risk makes money run away very fast. It makes money run away fast, very, very fast. And sometimes within our government as well, we have so many departments and so many sectors that work in silos. Okay? Let's say we have the Ministry of Mine now. We have the development plan. We have the Namibian National Planning Commission. We have now the upstream petroleum unit. And then we have now the spokesperson of the president. And every one of them speaks and, you know, they may not actually briefed in the same way. The other one says something different, completely different from what the other person is saying. I think those messages are very important. They have to, you know, as we're saying, you hear mixed messages, and those can be a problem for investors. So the big question for Namibia is not whether local participation is good or bad. So the real question is this, is I think, can Namibia increase local benefit without making investors feel like they are actually walking into an uncertainty? That's one thing that we need. That's the balance. That's the balance act maybe that we need to do. So can we increase? Because that's something that we need to do. Can we increase local benefit? But without making the investor like feel, what is going on here? Okay. Worried about their investment. So, because we must not speak as if this is a fight between, you know, national interest and investment. Okay. So no, this is not, it's not actually, it's a serious country must be able to do both. We must be able to do focus on national interest, and also and have investor and also create environment for investors. Okay. So a serious country must be able to say, yes, you can invest here. But yes, our people must benefit too. Hmm? You can invest here, but our people must benefit too. That is what mature policy should look like, I think. Eh? And let me say something else. And in today's world, really, word travel very fast. The word travel very fast. So we have even what we say, and even whether it's a newspaper or whether it's now, especially the officials, what they say, a statement made at a conference in Windhoek, it can unsettled, investors sitting in Canada, in Australia, in London, or in China. It can unsettle, you know, visitors already overseas. Political remark here at home can become part of a risk report overseas. So government must understand that communication is not a side issue. Communication is part of the economic policy. If your messaging is careless, that market can push you even before any law is passed. So that, and we have seen it. We have seen it in either in some countries, also in some sectors, in these countries as well. And that's why this story matters behind, beyond mining itself. It matters really beyond just the mining itself. So, because when investment slowed down in mining, when it slowed down in mining, it does not only affect the mining owners. It affects the whole chain. It affects the whole supply chain. It affects transport companies. It affects engineering firms. It affects suppliers. It affects caterers. You know, when you do construction, those vendors who are selling, you know, food, you know, of course, then, I mean, we're talking now in mining companies, it affects caterers. It affects security companies. And it affects towns that rely on mining activities. And of course, it affects government tax collection. And your foreign exchange as well. You know, your foreign exchange earnings. So it affects confidence in the wider economy. So, yeah, that's very, very important. So now let's get to the caller quickly.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
That mega, just 1 minute.
Yeah, please, yeah.
On the new topic.
Mm.
You know, for us, ne?
Yeah.
I think that policy is okay. Because we need that policy.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, we cannot just, we are just as just a labor only.
Yeah.
Remember one thing now, that even now when you are talking, one of them is retrenching people. But those people who are going to be retrenched, they are just going to add up to the number of unemployed people.
Exactly. Yeah.
In the country. And if it was we was having like 51% in that cement,
yeah,
I think there will be a lot of benefits out of it. Because remember, and we are able even to control it. We cannot control it, even though we know. Are we not constructing anymore? What? Or we are not using that cement anymore? They're having their monopoly.
Yeah.
Those are cement which, I'm telling you, because we used to get half cement from South Africa. And the cement which even was cheap, where it even end up with like, $18 something. Those years. Yeah. But now cement is 100 something, but now they are training people. Then you're wondering now, what is happening? Are we not using the cement as we supposed to be, or how?
Yeah.
The problem is that when you're having ownership, you are able to control everything. That's why we in the mind, we just been told that this is what is happening in the world of today, diamond. Diamond are not selling the way it's supposed to be. But as a person, you just learn to the data which they are giving you. because we don't have any control of it.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I think really we need it. That's why I'm saying if we can do it with Stalin, then let us do it if everybody's coming.
Yeah, it's also that, okay, the thing is also that as much, and that's the question I asked, that to look, we have to create that balance. Can we increase the local benefit without really making investor feel like, you know, I'm not benefiting anything. So therefore,
I'm a pushover.
So that we have to have that balance. So
exactly.
Because we need investors, we need
them. We need them. We need them. And sometimes, the investor they can come in like now Starlink. If they are really want to have a service in Namibia, they will just come to Combray. I don't think it's even a problem with them, Elon Musk to give 51% to Namibia. No, I don't think so. The problem is that who's going to those beneficiaries?
But the other thing is that you may not have you might not have actually the 21 ownership, but you have you can have actually different approaches on that, how that company maybe can, you know, can actually invest in Namibia. So you can look at that certain, you know, certain amount of percentage coming out of this should be invested in Namibia.
The good example is what are these research plans?
Yeah.
If we can do it with the Chinese 70-50-51, which is a basic human life. What else we cannot do? It's what I'm saying. The problem is that sometimes we do things, then we do it the other way around.
Yeah.
Because
sometimes when you become too rigid, when you become too rigid, then you also create, the other thing is that you also, you know, you're also disadvantaging yourself. There's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity. How do we then make use of this opportunity? You know?
Our local guys who are doing local content, what is the benefit? It was a benefit for them.
Yeah.
Now it's been refused. It is no more coming. So we are going back to the drawing board, the way you are doing your what? You're shooting live stream, and now the network is gone.
Yeah.
That's the problem. But seriously, we need those percentage, we need them.
Yeah.
In their companies. They will not just come and they would give us free percentage. No, that is something else. We cannot negotiate in that 3% or 10%. No way. All right, Mike.
All right, man.
Sure.
All right. It's 10 o'clock. Yeah. So the government, on this topic, on this, the government must bring clarity, not half clarity, not wait and see, clear policy, clear language, clear timelines. So, and the government must also consult properly, you know, properly before major statement, before they made those major statements that might create uncertainty in the market. Because this is actually coming from Chamber of Mines, that, you know, some messages from the government create that uncertainty in the market. So, yeah, the other thing is also that business must stop acting like local benefit is a threat. Somehow they kind of like feel like local benefit is a threat. No, it is not. It's a part of the deal in a democratic country with the development needs. We have development needs, and that should be part of the deal. It should be part of the deal. And they must stop acting as if like, you know, like local benefit, it's a threat. So Namibia must define empowerment in a smart, practical way. So not in slogans. Sometimes we love slogan. Yeah? Not in slogan, not in loose remarks that sometimes people make. In real policy that protect both local interest and investment confidence. Because in the end of the day, the country need both. We need both. We need capital We need jobs. Eh? But we need justice as well. So I said, do you remember where we're coming from? We need justice. We need investors. So, yeah. And it needs, we need citizens to benefit. We need to benefit from our resources. And we need growth. All right? So we need growth as well. So, yeah. So maybe what we can ask, let me ask you this quick question quickly. So I'm not be able to take anyone. So can we build a mining model that work for both now investors and also ordinary citizen? When I mean ordinary citizen, need citizen to benefit. Okay? Can we build a mining model, you know, that work for both? It work for investor, but it's also working for us. We should also be able to benefit. Ordinary Namibian should also be able to benefit. The other thing is also then, can government stop sending mixed messages on issues this sensitive? Okay? So because it what brings us where we are, what we're talking about. So, but the other thing also, can mining company do more to prove they are true partners? Because they have to indicate they are true partner to national development. Eh? So they're not just coming in to, you know, dig and, you know, and for their own benefit, but they also have to show. And I think the government should are doing very well good in terms of that. Show that you are true partners in a national development. All right? So, yeah. Well, that's definitely bring us to the end of our episode today, this morning's episode. You know, and let's continue the discussion tomorrow. Tomorrow, I used to have a Nigerian, you know, teacher in secondary school who was there. Tomorrow is another day. Yeah. So tomorrow is another day, as my Nigerian teacher used to say. Okay, I'm going to leave you in a good, capable hand so if I say Kamadikoka Pofi Moshiwambo, it sounds good, isn't it? Mangon, that of a blind man, of a blind boy, it doesn't sound good. Eh? I'm speaking English, so should I say it? Eh? Tade France, should I say it in English? Eh? Yeah, let me leave you in the hands of Mbalangaja. Mbalangaja mpuka ngoli mweli ponga. You know, I don't know why. He call himself Mbalangaja mpuka ngoli mweli ponga. Kaliwane no. Ile, shike? Yamba ula hungi ano. Mpuka li mweli ponga, ma yamba ula hungi. All right. So let me hand you to that France, the Mbalangaja, Kamadikonga Pofi, is coming up with Kufamosha. And so let's do this tomorrow again at the same time from 8 to 10 o'clock. For me, Mike Osheveli, I wish you a very pleasant day ahead. And goodbye.